Snow crunched under the heavy boots of 1,000 hardened warriors, their breath pluming in the freezing dusk. King Henrik of Ironpeak signaled a sudden halt. Down in the ruined valley of Aylesbury, a lone, fragile figure danced through a storm of steel and fangs. It was an Omega. Heavy mist clung to the banks of the River Severn, a thick, freezing shroud that offered little comfort to the returning forces of the Ironpeak clan. King Henrik rode at the vanguard, his massive armored direwolf mount, leaving deep craters in the frozen mud. For 3 grueling months, Henrik and his men had waged a relentless campaign against the northern rogue factions. They were exhausted, battered, and eager for the warmth of their hearths. To the left rode Commander Geoffrey, a grizzled veteran whose face bore the scars of 100 territorial disputes, and to the right was Captain Leopold, a tactician whose sharp mind had won them the siege of Fairfax. The hierarchy of their world was rigid, etched into their very DNA. Alphas were the commanders, the kings, the brutal force of nature that protected the packs. Betas were the soldiers, the workers, the backbone of their society, and Omegas. Omegas were cherished, fragile, and fiercely protected. They were the pacifists, the emotional anchors, biologically incapable of malice, or so the ancient texts and centuries of history dictated. An Omega on a battlefield was a death sentence. As the army navigated the treacherous pass overlooking the abandoned Harrington estate, a sprawling, crumbling stone manor, left to rot after the plague years, a sharp, unmistakable scent cut through the scent of pine and freezing rain. It was a chaotic mix of wet fur, ozone, and the sour stench of rogue wolves. Henrik raised a single gauntleted hand. Instantly, the marching boots of 1,000 men ceased. The silence was absolute, save for the whistling wind. "Down there, sire," Commander Geoffrey whispered, pointing a thick, scarred finger toward the courtyard of the ruined estate. Henrik narrowed his piercing amber eyes, his enhanced alpha vision cutting through the twilight. What he saw defied every law of nature, every instinct programmed into his predatory mind. In the center of the courtyard, surrounded by the rotting stone walls of the old Harrington keep, stood a single figure. She was small, draped in a tattered ash-colored cloak that whipped wildly in the wind. Circling her were no less than 20 fully shifted rogue wolves, massive feral beasts, driven mad by isolation and hunger. These were the remnants of the Redbone Scavengers, a vicious faction known for tearing apart entire Beta patrols. "Is that a child?" Captain Leopold asked, his voice tight with alarm. "A lost Beta." "No." Henrik breathed, his heart hammering against his ribs. The wind shifted, carrying her scent directly to the ridge. It was sweet, like rain-washed lavender and crushed vanilla, but beneath it lay a terrifying edge of sheer, unadulterated adrenaline. "Mother of the Moon. She is an Omega." A murmur of disbelief rippled through the front ranks of the Alpha Army. "An Omega, alone." Surrounded by 20 monstrous rogues, it was a massacre waiting to happen. Geoffrey reached for his broadsword, preparing to sound the charge to save the helpless creature, but Henrik clamped a hand on his commander's arm. "Wait!" the king commanded, his voice, barely above a whisper. "Look." Down in the courtyard, the first rogue lunged, a massive beast of matted gray fur, its jaws snapping toward the Omega's throat. Henrik expected to see her cower to bare her neck in submission, as her biology demanded. Instead, the Omega moved. She didn't possess the brute strength of an Alpha, nor the sturdy resilience of a Beta. What she possessed was something Henrik had never seen in his 30 years of warfare, absolute, fluid perfection. She dropped to her knees, sliding under the massive wolf's leaping trajectory. As she slid, silver flashed in her hands, twin curved daggers. With a precision that made Leopold gasp, she sliced upward, severing the beast's femoral artery, before popping back to her feet in one seamless motion. The rogue crashed into the stone wall, incapacitated instantly. By the gods! Geoffrey muttered, his eyes wide. The remaining 19 wolves roared in fury, attacking in a coordinated swarm. The Alpha King and his army watched in stunned silence, paralyzed by the impossible spectacle. Her footwork, she used the ruined terrain to her advantage, vaulting off shattered pillars and sliding down broken staircases, never allowing more than 2 wolves to engage her at once. Her strategy, she wasn't fighting to kill them all. She was fighting to cripple. She aimed for tendons, eyes, and joints, disabling the massive beasts with terrifying anatomical knowledge. Her aura. Most shocking of all, she wasn't releasing distress pheromones. Omegas in danger typically released a scent that triggered alphas to protect them. Her scent was cold, controlled, and distinctly predatory. She was a ghost, a dancer in a macabre ballet. A rogue snapped its jaws inches from her face. She used its momentum, grabbing its thick mane and using it to swing herself onto its back, driving a dagger into its spine before leaping off as it collapsed. "Sire," Leopold urged awe, mingling with desperation. "She is skilled, but she is tiring. Look at her footing. She's dragging her left leg." Henrik saw it. The sheer physical toll of fighting so many alphas was catching up to her fragile omega physiology. Her ash cloak was torn, and she was panting heavily, her back now pressed against the heavy oak doors of the estate's ruined cellar. She was cornered. She wasn't trying to escape. She was guarding the door. A massive pitch-black alpha, the leader of the rogue, stepped forward, its lips curled back in a grotesque sneer. It barked an order, and the remaining 12 wolves closed in, preparing to tear her apart simultaneously. Henrik's restraint snapped. His inner wolf roared, an ancient protective instinct overriding his shock. "Iron Peak!" King Henrik's voice boomed across the valley, a sonic wave of alpha command that rattled the very stones of the ruins. "To me, slaughter them all." The descent of the Iron Peak army was like an avalanche of iron and fury. 1,000 heavily armored alphas poured down the valley sides, their war cries echoing off the mountains. King Henrik was at the forefront, leaping from his mount before it even stopped. He crashed into the courtyard like a meteor, his great sword drawn. The rogue wolves, realizing too late that a royal army had descended upon them, panicked. The Black Alpha leader turned to flee, but Commander Geoffrey intercepted him, bringing a massive battle axe down in a single fatal arc. The battle, if it could be called, that lasted less than 2 minutes. The exhausted wounded rogues were no match for rested, disciplined Alpha soldiers. The courtyard was quickly secured, the surviving rogues restrained in heavy iron chains. As the dust and snow began to settle, Henrik sheathed his sword. His chest heaved as he turned his attention back to the cellar doors. The Omega was still there. She hadn't lowered her weapons. In fact, she looked even more dangerous now. She stood with her back pressed firmly against the splintered oak, her twin daggers held out in a defensive stance. Her hood had fallen back, revealing a tangled mane of dark, sweat-soaked hair and striking ice-blue eyes that darted frantically between the hundreds of massive men surrounding her. "Hold your positions," Henrik ordered his men, sensing the volatile energy radiating from her. He took a slow, deliberate step forward, raising his hands to show he was no longer a threat. "Peace, little one," Henrik said, keeping his voice low, injecting it with the soothing, rumbling purr that alphas use to calm distressed omegas. "The rogues are dead or captured. You are safe under the protection of the Iron Peak clan. I am King Henrik." The calming purr should have forced her into a state of docile submission. It was a biological imperative. But the Omega's reaction shocked him even more than her fighting skills. She sneered. "Take another step, Alpha, and I will separate your royal hand from your wrist," she hissed. Her voice was raspy, laced with exhaustion, but completely devoid of fear. Geoffrey bristled, stepping forward. "You dare speak to the king in such a—" "Stand down, Geoffrey." Henrik barked, never taking his eyes off her. He analyzed her closely. Her name was Rosalyn, he would later learn, though in this moment she was nameless, a beautiful, terrifying anomaly. She was bleeding from a nasty gash on her shoulder, and her hands shook slightly, but her grip on the daggers was white-knuckled. "You fought with the skill of a royal guardsman," Henrik said, gently taking another half step. "But you are an Omega. How is this possible, and why did you not run? You had ample opportunity to escape into the tree line before they cornered you." Rosalind didn't answer. Instead, she shifted her stance, deliberately blocking the crack in the cellar doors. Henrik's eyes flicked to the doors. His heightened senses finally pushed past the overwhelming sense of the dead rogues and the Omega's strange lavender and adrenaline pheromones. There was another scent coming from behind the heavy oak. It was faint, weak, but it hit Henrik like a physical blow to the stomach. It was the scent of pine needles and old parchment, the distinct genetic scent of his own bloodline. "What is behind that door?" Henrik's voice dropped an octave, the calming purr vanishing, replaced by the dangerous rumble of a demanding king. "Nothing that belongs to you," Rosalind spat, coughing slightly as the exertion caught up to her. "Move aside," Henrik commanded. He didn't want to hurt her, but the scent was driving his inner wolf frantic. It couldn't be. It was impossible. When she didn't move, Henrik lunged forward, moving with a speed that defied his massive size. He didn't draw a weapon. He simply reached out, grabbing her wrists with one massive hand, pinning her daggers away from him. With his other hand, he grabbed her by the waist and hoisted her out of the way. She fought like a wildcat, kicking and snarling, her teeth sinking into his armored gauntlet. "Geoffrey, hold her gently," Henrik ordered, passing the struggling Omega to his towering commander. Geoffrey wrapped his massive arms around her, immobilizing her without crushing her fragile bones. "Let me go. Don't you touch him. I'll kill you all," Rosalind screamed, her icy eyes filling with tears of desperate fury. Henrik kicked the rotting oak doors inward. They splintered and crashed down the stone stairs into the dark cellar. He grabbed a torch from a nearby soldier and descended into the gloom. The cellar was cold, lined with empty wine racks and broken crates. In the far corner, huddled beneath a pile of moldy tapestries and expensive though torn velvet cloaks, was a small figure. Henrik approached, slowly dropping to his knees. He pulled back the tapestry. Lying there was a young boy, no older than 7. He was pale, shivering, and clutching a rusted iron short sword that was far too heavy for him. He was an alpha child, though malnourished and weak, but it wasn't his condition that made the mighty King Henrik drop his torch. It was the boy's face, and the birthmark shaped like a crescent moon on his left temple. "Arthur," Henrik whispered, his voice cracking. Arthur was his nephew, the son of his late brother, Lord Reginald, who governed the Southern Territories. 3 years ago, the Aylesbury Manor had been burned to the ground in a devastating raid by a coalition of rogue packs. The royal family had found the bodies of Reginald and his wife, but Arthur's body was never recovered. The boy had been presumed dead, burned in the ash of the estate. Yet here he was, alive. Henrik scooped the frail child into his massive arms, tears tracking through the grime on his face. Arthur buried his face in Henrik's neck, taking comfort in the familial scent. Henrik carried the boy up the stairs and back into the fading light of the courtyard. The entire army fell dead silent at the sight of the king holding a child. Captain Leopold gasped, recognizing the royal features immediately. Henrik turned his gaze to the Omega, who was still struggling in Geoffrey's grip, though her movements had slowed as she saw the child was unharmed. "You," Henrik breathed, looking at Rosalind with a mixture of profound gratitude and intense bewilderment. "You have kept the royal heir alive for 3 years, alone in the wilderness." Rosalind stopped struggling. She looked at Henrik, her chest heaving, her icy eyes defiant. "They hunted him every day. The rogues, the mercenaries, even some of your own corrupt beta patrols who wanted the bounty." "Who are you?" Henrik demanded, his voice thick with emotion. "An Omega cannot do what you just did. They do not possess the stamina, the instinct, or the cruelty." Rosalind let out a bitter, exhausted laugh. "You think you know everything about our kind, King Henrik. You think Omegas are just pretty little things meant to warm your beds and calm your tempers." She locked eyes with him, the truth finally spilling from her lips. "I was not born in a castle. I was born in the fighting pits of the Blackwood Syndicate. They wanted to see if they could break an Omega's nature. They wanted to create the perfect, unsuspected assassin." A collective shudder ran through the king's men. "The Blackwood Syndicate, a myth, a horror story told to frighten pups, a cabal of exiled alphas who conducted twisted experiments." "They succeeded," Rosalind said softly, her eyes dropping to the ground. "But they forgot one thing. You can force an Omega to kill, but you can never erase our instinct to protect the innocent. When they ordered me to assassinate Lord Reginald's heir during the raid, I took the boy and ran. Henrik stood frozen in the snow, holding the nephew he thought he had lost forever, staring at the shattered, magnificent woman who had defied nature, survived hell, and slaughtered monsters to protect a child that was not her own. This was no ordinary Omega. And as Henrik looked at her, he realized his kingdom, his army, and his own heart would never be the same. Torches flared against the creeping dark as the massive gates of Iron Peak Citadel loomed in the distance. The journey back from the ruined valley had been agonizingly slow, dictated by the fragile state of the young Prince Arthur and the grievous injuries Rosalind had sustained. King Henrik had draped his own heavy royal direbear pelt over the trembling Omega, an act of sheer alpha submission that left his entire vanguard in stunned silence. The imposing stone walls of the capital, built during the legendary signing of the Treaty of the Silver Pines in 1422, offered a deceptive sense of security. Inside the gates, the courtyard was a flurry of activity. Whispers spread like wildfire. The king had returned not only with a legendary victory, but with a ghost, the rightful heir to the southern territories, thought dead for 3 years. Physician Linus, a beta of the House of Valois, renowned for his medical prowess, immediately rushed to attend to the boy. However, Arthur refused to let go of Rosalind's torn tunic. "She comes with me," the boy commanded, his small voice cracking but carrying the undeniable weight of his royal bloodline. Henrik nodded, gesturing for the guards to stand down. "Give her whatever she requires, Linus. Treat her with the respect of a highborn." As Rosalind was led away, her icy blue eyes met Henrik's amber ones. For a fleeting second, the hardened assassin melted, revealing the exhausted, terrified Omega beneath. The scent of rain-washed lavender spiked, and Henrik's chest tightened. His inner wolf clawed at his ribs, an ancient, instinctual possessiveness taking root in his soul. She was not just a survivor. She was a miracle. Later that evening, Henrik convened an emergency council in the Great Hall. The room was illuminated by a massive hearth, the flames casting dancing shadows over the faces of his most trusted advisors. At his right hand stood Chancellor Frederick, a man whose lineage traced back to the ancient real-world aristocracies of the Bavarian lords, his face lined with false concern. "Your Grace," Frederick began, bowing deeply. "The return of Prince Arthur is a blessing from the Moon Goddess herself. However, harboring this creature, who claims to be an Omega assassin from the Syndicate, is madness. She is a danger to the crown, a weapon waiting to misfire." Commander Jeffrey slammed his fist on the heavy oak table. "That creature slaughtered 20 Redbone rogues to protect your prince. I saw it with my own eyes, Frederick. And how do we know she wasn't the one who orchestrated the raid on Aylesbury Manor in the first place?" Frederick countered smoothly, his dark eyes glinting. "The Syndicate does not let its toys wander. She is a spy sent to infiltrate the Citadel. We must execute her before she strikes." Henrik sat silently, his heightened alpha senses analyzing the room. The scent of deceit. Frederick's heartbeat was erratic. His scent, usually smelling of expensive parchment and sage, was souring with the acrid stench of concealed panic. The tactical flaw. If the Syndicate wanted Arthur dead, Rosalind had 3 years to do it. Bringing him to the capital made zero tactical sense for an assassin. The missing link, who within the royal court had the wealth and the precise patrol schedules to feed to the rogues 3 years ago. Before Henrik could voice his suspicions, the heavy oak doors of the great hall burst open. Rosalind stood in the doorway. She had been bathed and dressed in a simple flowing gown of midnight blue silk, her dark hair cascading over her shoulders. The elegant attire starkly contrasted with the lethal grace of her movements and the heavy bandages wrapping her collarbone. Arthur stood safely tucked behind her legs. "She isn't a spy," a small, brave voice echoed through the hall. Arthur stepped out from behind Rosalind, pointing a trembling finger directly at Chancellor Frederick. "He is the bad man. He is the one who came to the estate the night before the fires." Chaos erupted in the great hall. "Treason," Frederick roared, drawing a concealed dagger from his robes. "The Omega has bewitched the boy guards. Kill them both." A dozen guards, mercenaries, loyal only to Frederick's coin, drew their blades and surged toward the doorway. Henrik roared, kicking the massive oak council table with such force that it shattered, sending splintered wood flying into the advancing traitors. He drew his broadsword, moving to intercept the guards, but he was too far away. Frederick, moving with desperate speed, lunged toward Arthur. He never made it. Rosalind didn't have her twin daggers, but the Syndicate had trained her to be a weapon in any environment. With terrifying fluidity, she grabbed a heavy iron candlestick from a nearby sconce. She didn't strike wildly. She calculated the trajectory in a fraction of a second. She swept the iron base directly into the back of Frederick's knees, shattering his joints and bringing the Chancellor crashing to the stone floor. As the mercenary guards closed in, Henrik crashed into their flank like a force of nature. The battle in the Great Hall was a breathtaking display of contrasting lethalities. The Alpha King Henrik fought with devastating, crushing power. His broad sword cleaved through armor and bone, driven by a furious, protective rage. He was the storm, unstoppable and deafening. The Omega Assassin. Rosalind fought with silent surgical precision. She used the environment, tripping enemies, disarming them with quick strikes to nerve clusters and using their own momentum against them. She danced through the chaos, ensuring no blade came within 10 feet of the young prince. Within minutes, the traitorous guards were dead or incapacitated by Commander Jeffrey and Captain Leopold, who had rallied the loyal palace guards. Frederick lay groaning on the floor, his legs useless. Henrik stalked toward him, his sword dripping with blood, his amber eyes glowing with a terrifying primal light. You sold my brother to the rogues? Henrik growled, the vibration of his voice rattling the stained glass windows. You paid the syndicate to murder a child to secure your own power in the southern territories. The kingdom needed a politician, not a weak, peace-loving lord. Frederick spat, coughing up blood. And what will you do now, Henrik Mathe, with a broken, blood-soaked Omega? She violates every law of our nature. Henrik didn't bother to answer. With a single swift motion, he brought the pommel of his sword down against Frederick's temple, knocking the traitor unconscious for the executioner's block the following dawn. The great hall fell silent, save for the crackling of the hearth. Henrik dropped his sword. He turned to look at Rosalyn. She was breathing heavily, her hands shaking, as the adrenaline began to fade, leaving her fragile biology to cope with the immense physical toll. She collapsed to her knees, pulling Arthur into a fierce, protective embrace. The king walked over to them slowly. He dropped to his knees on the blood-stained stone, uncaring of his royal status. He reached out his massive calloused hand, gently tracing the line of her jaw. As their skin met, a shock wave rippled through the air. It wasn't just chemistry. It was the ancient, undeniable snap of the mating bond. The stress, the trauma, and the constant fighting had masked her true scent. But now, in the safety of the citadel, her pheromones bloomed. The rain-washed lavender enveloped him, bringing the mighty king of Iron Peak to his knees in a completely different way. "You are not broken," Henrik whispered, his voice thick with a reverence he had never known. "You are the fiercest warrior I have ever beheld. You saved my bloodline. You saved my heart." Rosalyn looked up at him, the ice in her eyes finally melting, replaced by tears of profound relief. For her entire life, she had been a tool, an experiment, a weapon forced to suppress her natural desire for peace and connection. Here, kneeling in the blood of traitors, she found an alpha who didn't want to conquer her, but who wanted to stand beside her. "I am tired of fighting, Henrik," she whispered, leaning into his touch, her Omega purr finally rumbling in her chest, a sound of absolute trust. "Then you shall never have to fight alone again," Henrik vowed, pulling her and Arthur into his chest. In the weeks that followed, the kingdom underwent a massive shift. The execution of Chancellor Frederick rooted out the remaining corruption within the noble houses. Prince Arthur was officially reinstated as the heir to the southern territories, heavily guarded and tutored by the finest minds in the land. But the most shocking change of all was the new queen of Iron Peak. Rosalyn sat on the throne beside Henrik, no longer wearing ash cloaks or hiding in shadows. She wore the crown of the realm. She became a symbol of a new era, one where Omegas were no longer viewed as fragile glass dolls, but as the fiercely beating, undeniably strong heart of the pack. The Alpha King and his deadly Omega Queen ruled with a balance of terrifying strength and profound mercy, their legendary love story echoing through the ages, proving that sometimes the most unbreakable things in the world are the ones they try to shatter first. Did the Alpha King's ultimate discovery leave you completely speechless? If Rosalind's incredible journey from a hunted fighting pit captive to the fierce legendary Queen of Iron Peak kept you on the very edge of your seat, smash that like button right now. Share this epic tale of betrayal, undeniable strength, and fated romance with your friends. And don't forget to subscribe to our channel for more thrilling werewolf dramas and breathtaking stories every single week.